With us today. I know it's a busy weekend, and you got a lot of plans hopefully ahead of you. Oh, by the way, evidently we have another anniversary announcement. Kevin and Dawn Miller are also celebrating their anniversary. Is there anybody else celebrating anniversary? We don't want a bunch of hurt feelings around here. Anybody else got any? Oh, the Joneses. Okay, congratulations. How many? Big deal. 51, okay. Today is 47 years? 47, but today is your anniversary. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody? Are you serious? Okay. Going once? Going twice? Hey. My daughter and son-in-law, no, I'm just kidding. Actually, today is their anniversary. Hey, thank you for being at church. I just want to throw a disclaimer out there. It's really not a disclaimer at all, but I just love church. I love being with you people. I love doing church with you. I just love the feel of our worship and just what I feel in the hallways. And I pray that we'll always honor that and protect that because Satan doesn't like it one bit. He's not happy about what happens in churches that really enjoy his presence and invite his presence into their lives. So please, let's not ever take this for granted, okay? Never, ever take it for granted. I believe this is just a story that was I don't know if it was a real story or not. Jesus told a lot of parables, and he would tell these stories to present a point and to get a message across. So I don't know if this was real or not, but the story I read was about a young man named John, and he went to college right across the street, actually, from a very upper middle class congregation, and he had just recently got saved, so he wanted to go to church, so he meandered across the way there, and he walked into this church, and they were in the middle of worship. He didn't know what time they started and anything like that, but he was just dressed in his old tennis shoes and his blue jeans and t-shirt, kind of had long hair, kind of maybe a misfit from that group of people, that majority of them wore suits and dresses and that type of thing. But he was looking for a place to sit, and he couldn't find one. Everything was really, really full. So believe it or not, he just kind of meandered his way down toward the front, and about two-thirds down the middle of the aisle, he just decided he'd gone far enough. And back then, everybody was just with a hymnal in their hand, and they were just singing right there, sitting in the pew. So he just sat down. And everybody was kind of taken back by that. They were wondering what was going on. And finally, there was a deacon in his 80s, kind of waddled up there. He had a cane, and the story goes that he dropped his cane and grabbed a couple of hymnals, and he just sat down, squatted right there in the middle of the aisle with John, and they began to sing. They began to celebrate. Everybody was kind of amazed by everything. The pastor was so touched that when he got up, he said, "Listen, what I say today, you'll never really remember." He said, "But what you've seen today, you'll never forget. What you've seen today, you'll never forget." Today is talking about our story. But the follow-up to that is, what will it be? This is about what we're going to do with the rest of our lives. And it doesn't matter if you measure that in years, decades, or more. What are we going to do with the rest of our lives? In that illustration you talked about with John and the old deacon, the kind of cool thing is you got one that is beginning his journey, and the other is probably at the conclusion of his journey. You know, his life has become real limited, but boy, the world is wide open for this young man named John. And I think that most of us, we have to just realize that God still has a whole lot more for us to do. Now, that sounds like a little demanding, isn't it? That we got to step up and do things. It almost sounds like work, doesn't it? Almost like I've got to do more, more, more. No, it's just that he's got more, more, more for us. We always turn it around somehow. We forget what God wants to come into this thing as a contribution. Instead, it seems like what he's wanting us to contribute. So I think the question still is, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Too fortunately, unfortunately, a lot of times we find ourselves just tagging one more dismal day on top of the other. And we just kind of see ourselves drudging through life. And we know that this is supposed to be so much more than that. It's not what God ever wanted us to be. But I do know this much from experience, and you do too. I can't change where I've come from, but I can determine where I'm going to go. I can't change the past, but I can change my future. You see, God gives us the opportunity, the component, to make decisions in all of this stuff. And it's not just we just have to automatically just fall into some system or some regimen, but that God is always looking forward to bless us. This is my story, the title that I put of this sermon, because it's still being written. And most of us have two stories. It's the story that we want people to see, and there's the story that we really live. The cool thing is when they coordinate with one another and they are the same. That the joy that I see on my face, the smiles on my face, isn't because I'm the pastor and it's my job description to show up in a good mood. You know, I know just as much as you do that there's a lot of times that we cover up an awful lot of pain and hurt. That doesn't mean that we're liars. It's just that sometimes we have chosen to not let that pain and hurt decide what our day's going to be like. We've chosen to overcome all these. And you know, we get all of this incredible reinforcement from the Bible. And that's why we're going to still change our future, regardless of what our past is. Let me give you a couple of things that will help you with this. Okay, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes just for a second. Very familiar verse of Scripture. But we need to look for God's guidance through all of this. You know, you can make a lot of decisions about what you're going to do, the attitude you're going to have, and it may get you a long way down the road, but it's going to be very limited because it's going to be you. It's going to be you. But when you add God to anything that we do, it usually not only doubles and triples and quadruples, it usually begins to multiply. That God can do these incredible things that we can't do. God can change circumstances that we could never, ever move. But the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain, a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. And when you read that out of these words that Solomon wrote, here you got to understand, this is a man that had put himself into this quest mode that he wanted to just find out what life was all about. In this incredible book of the Bible, you'll find out he searched all kinds of pleasures. He searched all kinds of ambition. He built huge barns and filled them full of grain, and he decided, I'll tear them down and build bigger ones. He got all of these horses and these donkeys and these sheep and these goats and all this livestock, and he said, I can get more. And he had all of these things that he did, and at the end of it, he couldn't quite find himself satisfied in the things that he could find. Only in the Lord could he find. And that's why he said there's a time for all of these things. In the life that we live, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have good days and bad days. You're going to have sad events and happy events. You're going to have some victories, and you're going to have some defeats. And in the midst of all this, we just need to ask for God's just guidance through all of this stuff. Because if you begin to navigate through life on your own feeling, your own experiences, the things that you're dealing with, boy, you are going to see yourselves up and down. There's no continuum. Right now, there's a lot of people in Oklahoma that are experiencing a downtime. I mean, the weather, you name it. It's just part of it. But, you know, their emotion may go up and down. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a continuum that never changes. And it's not boring. It's not a flat line. It's not this mundane part of life. Because there's a lot of people that don't like the church because they feel like it's just a bunch of limited stuff. The do's and don'ts of life. Are you kidding me? You've never enjoyed life more than in Christ Jesus. You've never had a greater life than knowing that you can go to bed at night and you don't have to regret where you've been, what you've said, or what you've done because you're secure in Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. You don't have to worry about if your life was taken from you in the middle of the night whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. You're living heaven right now. And that's because God gives us this kind of guidance. God only knows when these things happen. So we need to make sure that we allow him to help us through these things. We need his guidance desperately. And another thing is, when all this happens, as you're going through life, hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. I mean, grip that thing with a double-fisted grip and just put your fingerprints and everything you got and hold on to your faith and don't ever turn loose. Affirm that thing with everything that you've got. In verse number 11 of that same chapter, Solomon said this, he, meaning God, has made everything beautiful in its time and has also set eternity in the hearts of men. The reason that you and guys you and I are thrilled about this relationship we have with Christ is because it's connected with eternity. You know, there's a reason that we used to really go over the top and preach an awful lot about heaven. Because it wasn't the rescue spot. It wasn't when we finally crossed the finish line. It was connected with our heart and our spirit. And we couldn't wait to be with Jesus. When I was preparing this, I was thinking of a couple of movies that I've seen, of course, a good while ago, but there's that one movie about the little boy that died and went to heaven. Remember that? I can't remember the name of that movie, but it was a book and a movie. And in the midst of all that, you know, there's just these really incredible things where this little, I think it was about a five-year-old boy, he couldn't have known unless he had visited literally with Jesus. There was that time when he knew through the pictures that his dad was pulling out of his dad as a young man, he goes, yeah, that's your dad. I mean, just stuff like that, it just thrills you to death to know that there's a connection here between here and there. And that there's this whole part of us that we're connected, and it's amazing. And it's all because of our faith. Listen, God, who created you and I in His image, has created us with a concern and an outlook and a desire for the future. You know, it's real easy to get caught in the here and now, but there's places we're going. There's things that God is going to do. There's a life that you yet have to live that is thrilling and is exciting. And listen, these young people, you know, there's a part of that that maybe they don't understand because they're just not there to compare a whole lot of life. But in Jesus, there's something they're thrilled about. There's a lot of them, they can't wait to go to camp. You know why? Because they know what happened to camp last year. And it's stuck with their, and it's been in their crawl all year long. And it's been churning. They can't wait to get to that unique situation where we're going to take their cell phones away from them and burn them. And we're going to keep them from social media. And we're going to take them away from their girlfriends and their boyfriend. No, I'm just kidding. We're just going to put them to camp. And they're going to have some incredible things going to happen because they did this. There are certain things that we won't be able to figure out this side of heaven. You realize that, don't you? Listen, I don't know why it continues to rain when we got more water than we know what to do with. And I could go on and on and on. That's just some current event stuff. I don't know why Marty is laying in that bed down in Oklahoma City. And forgive me if you don't know who Marty is, but he's one of the people in our church that has a very serious, serious physical circumstance that had to be transferred to Oklahoma City. I don't know why he's not healed yet. But I do know this much. Jesus says that he's going to take care of us. Matter of fact, in John 13:7, he says, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Later you will understand. So when we get in confusing times, listen, whatever you do, don't bail. Affirm your faith. Hold on to your faith. Don't let anything grip it from your grasp. Sometimes I know we say, God, I don't know what's going on. Why is this happening to me? You know, that's not a bad question. If it is a bad question, then David really blew it in the Psalms. Because he's constantly saying, God, listen, I mean, they're talking about me. They're making fun of me. You know, they can't wait for me to fail, fall flat on my face. But in the same chapter, he always turns around and gives great glory to God because he knows that God has everything under control. He goes back to reaffirming his faith. Listen, giving up is the opposite of what we ought to do. In those moments, you need to affirm your faith. Listen, I was going down the road the other day, and I was just amazed. There's this little bitty green bug. Aren't you amazed already? You're just already captured by my coming here. Little green bug, he's right there on the windshield, and I'm going, you're gone in it. You're gone in a minute. And you know, and he just was sitting there, and his little wings are just going like this, you know. And I could just see those little bitty stick arms just going. It was crazy. I was having fun. I'm going, okay, let's see what you can do at 70. So now it's a personal challenge, all right? And so I'm trying to knock this bug off the windshield, and he's not going anywhere. I'm going, okay, let's try the windshield wipers. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that, but I wanted to. But that was just amazing. I'm going, this is exactly what we got to do. You know what? I mean, it's just blinding wind in our face and adversity after adversity, but he just held on, and I'm going, way to go, buddy. I need a sermon illustration. It was awesome. I had this great friend that I met at Troy State University. His name is Lemuel Harris. Lem, we called him. He was a track star. He was just the fastest kid. And we just grew up together. We just had a great time there. I was only there for a year and a half, but we became really good friends. Fabulous Christian dude. And I just connected with him after 42 years. 42 years. What I didn't know, and through all of that, is that previous to knowing him, Lem had been extremely abused in his family. I didn't know his life. I didn't know his story. And in the meantime, yet there's so many problems and just difficulties. And listen, I'm going to tell you what, I don't even pretend to know what someone goes through on the mental, psychological level of those things. But he told me, he said, you know, I just needed you to know. And I thought, no, I don't need to know. You're my friend, Lem. You know, we haven't seen each other in decades, but you're my friend. He said, no, I just needed you to know because, you know what, it was the times that it wasn't just me and him, but there were several others. Trey Hancock, the friend of mine from up in Michigan. There were other guys that right there on the campus. Roger Maddox, who was one of our strong safeties. We just had this incredible bond spiritually. He said, you just never know how many times that I went back to those times that we spent together and we hunkered down over in the athletic, you know, department and we've had prayer. He said, that kept me going through all these years. And I'll tell you what, it's tough. I understand. But just hold on to your faith. Easier said than done, right? But it can be done. It can be done. The third thing, hey, I like this. Don't you like when you finally get to do something? Here's real simple. Do good. Do good. Remember what we preached on last week? Overcoming evil with good over in Romans 12. So here's something that we get to do in road mapping and thrusting ourselves into this future and changing from who we are to what we're supposed to be, even though we can't change what we've been. But this is something that we can do. We just need to do good. In verse 12, this is what Solomon said. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. It sounds like a bumper sticker, but he's saying, listen, how about you pursuing happiness? How about you doing good things? Would you not feel better about yourself? Would you not feel better about your God if that was probably one of the main priorities of your life every day? That you just decided, you know what, today I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to do good things. I'm going to think good thoughts. And I expect good to come to me. We're not holding God hostage at this. We're just saying, you know what, because of who you are and what you've done in my life, this is the byproduct of having Christ in my life, is that I just want to do good. And listen, if you aren't doing good, you probably aren't happy. And if you're not happy, you're probably not doing anything good. So, you know, they balance one another. There's something about doing good things that changes all of us. So, listen, pick somebody out and help them. Just find a project, find a cause, and do it. Sometimes we go, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know what? We need to make those affirmative action statements instead of wishes and wannabes. You know, we are going to have a tremendous season ahead of us. Listen, I'm not recruiting for anything, guys, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be plenty of opportunity the next several weeks for us to just roll up our sleeves and be a good citizen. It has come home, and it may not be right here, but there is a lot right here. And it may be on the other side of Tulsa. It may be in Sand Springs. It may be in Skiatook. I don't know. It's going to be somewhere, but we can roll up our sleeves and do something good. You know what? Remember when you were a kid, wasn't it fun getting dirty? Not fun anymore, is it? Yeah, that was when I was a kid. I didn't know any better. But I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing better than coming home and just having to throw those dirty jeans and those boots to the side full of mud or whatever, knowing that you did something good for somebody else. Let me tell you what, I think a lot of times, that's when God shows up. It's not about your physical ability. It's not about that I wish I could do that, Pastor Dave. That was 30 years ago. Forget the comparison. That's not it. It's just about whatever God can tell you to do. Because we can do a whole lot of good. You can send a card, you can write a letter, you can pick up the phone and call somebody. Go see somebody, be sensitive to their needs. Ask if they need anything, do something, but whatever you do, do it now. Because there was one mom who said, don't send me flowers after I'm dead, I'd really like to enjoy them right now. So it'd be a pretty good idea. You know, and I've heard this statement, you have too. And I understand the proclamation that somebody's saying, so you know what, I would die for Jesus. Great. Why don't you work on living for Jesus first? Dying is one thing, but why don't you live for him first? And let that be the thing that we talk about when you indeed die for Jesus. Amen? So, hey, two more things. We need to understand that our time is a gift. We have been given this time, regardless of how you measure it, regardless if it's days, weeks, decades, moments, seconds. God has given us time, and it is a gift. It's not something we're just plodding through. It is a gift. Every day should be a gift. And you wonder, I have another opportunity. I have this wonderful opportunity to just know Him and know of Him. He's saying every moment is a gift. You don't earn it and you don't deserve it. You've just been given it. It is a gift. Something that God just literally wants to give you. So if we're going to have a gift from God, why don't we enjoy it? Why don't we put everything we can into this thing to make it the best that it possibly can be? Because you know what? If I gave you a gift and you started criticizing how you didn't like this, you didn't like that. I mean, you've done that Christmas thing, haven't you? Give somebody the first thing they're doing. Here's the stack of the things I'm going to exchange. And here's the things I really love. And the younger they are, the things that they really love is a stupid box for crying out loud. You know, hey, I bought you this expensive thing over here. You're supposed to be thrilled to death. Well, they were thrilled until they got it opened, and now they want the box. It's a gift, and we need to understand it as such. So you know what? I'm going to tell you something that sometimes we have a little conflict with. But enjoying yourself and having success is not always selfish. It's not always selfish. Matter of fact, it's good. You know what? I'll go one up. It's also God. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to enjoy yourself. God wants you to know that this is a gift and you only have a short amount of time. So let's quit worrying about or looking for and waiting for the right time, the right place, and the right situation. You know what? We can create those. We can create those. But if you don't put some effort into it, you're going to miss a whole lot of them. There's an awful lot of times we had the opportunity to speak into somebody's life and we didn't. You can't go back and do that again. You know, my greatest fear, sometimes when someone's in the hospital or a phone call that I missed or whatever, what if that was the last time we got to speak to them? That sounds really a little morbid, doesn't it? But there's some things we can't get back. And today is one of those things you will never get this back. But you can live it today. And you can love it today. And you can work it today. And it can be one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave you. And you will cherish it for today. I promise you that. The last thing is simply this. Listen, we need to practice our finish. Because God says, you know what? I'm going to ask you, what did you do with the rest of your life? I saved you. I gave you my son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. You asked him into your heart. What did you do after that? You had a lot more time. There's time after that. What did you do with that? So we need to practice our finish. You know, these aren't threatening words. It's just what the Bible says. In verse 15, he says this, Solomon said, God will call the past to account. In verse 17, he says, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked. In Romans 14, Paul said, we will all stand before God's judgment seat. In verse 12, he said, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Listen, if you're a Christian and you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we use a lot of generalizations on that. Giving your heart to Christ, you've been saved, you've been forgiven, you're born again, all of those things, your sins are forgiven. So you're not going to have to worry about your sins because they have been forgiven, they've been covered by the blood of Jesus. But when you face God, he's going to ask you a couple of simple questions. Something like, what did you do with the time that I gave you after you surrendered your heart to my son, Jesus Christ? What did you do with that? It's powerful. Ephesians 5 says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. So be careful how you live. There's a guy named Tim Kimmel. He wrote a book called Changed Lives. An excerpt out of that book was called The Miracle at Sing Sing. Sing Sing was a prison back in the 1920s, upper New York. Many of us that are my age, you remember some of those things. If you're much younger than that, this would be irrelevant as far as knowing what that was. But this is what he wrote in his book. In 1921, Lewis Laws became the warden of Sing Sing Prison. It was located just 30 miles north of New York City. No prison was tougher than Sing Sing at that time. But when Warden Laws retired 20 years later, Sing Sing had been transformed into a model penal institution of its time. Those who studied the system said credit for the change belonged to Laws, But when he was asked, he said, "No, I owe it all to my wonderful wife, Catherine, who is buried just outside the prison walls." Catherine Laws was a young mother with three small children when her husband became the warden. Everybody warned her from the beginning never to set foot inside the prison walls, but that didn't stop Catherine. When the first prison basketball game was held, she went, walking into the prison gym with her three small children, and she sat in the stands with the inmates. She said, "My husband is taking care of these men, and I believe that they will take care of me." She insisted on getting acquainted with them and their records. She discovered one convicted murderer was blind, so she learned Braille and taught him how to read Braille. Then Catherine found a deaf mute in the prison, so she went to school to learn how to communicate with him in sign language. To many, Catherine Laws was the epitome of Jesus in Sing Sing from 1921 to 1937. Then she was killed in an automobile accident, and her husband rushed from the prison to his children's side. The next morning, Lewis Laws didn't come to work, so the acting warden took his place. It seemed that almost instantly, the entire prison had learned what was wrong. The following day, her body was resting in a casket in her home, 3/4 of a mile from the prison. As the acting warden took his early morning inspection walk, he was amazed to see a large crowd of the toughest, hardest criminals gathered like a herd of animals at the main gate. As he came closer, he could see tears streaking their faces. Realizing how much they loved Catherine, he said, "All right, men, you may go. Just be sure to check back in." Then he ordered the gates opened, and a parade of criminals walked without guard 3/4 of a mile to stand in line to pay their final respects to Catherine Laws. And every one of them checked back in, every one. I think Catherine Laws made a difference in this life. I think she used the most of her life. That's her story. And we're not here to compete with that story, but we are here to compete with the fact that God has said, "I've given you this life. It is a gift. And I want you to use it for my purposes. I want to bless you. I want you to hold on to your faith. I want you to understand that there will be a day when I'll ask you certain questions, and I want to be able to say, well done. Well done." And our altar call today will not be asking you to come to this altar. The altar call will be what you do outside those double doors when you leave today. That'll be the true altar call of this day. What are we going to do with the rest of our lives? And today, if you're among us and you're going, "Wow, Pastor, truth of the matter is, I'm not living the kind of life that I should be living." See, Jesus died so that today, in the privacy of your pew, right there where you are, you could bow your head and your heart and say, "Jesus, please forgive me. Cover my sins with your blood. Forgive me and accept me into your life and into your presence so that one day I know that my story will be like many others, that I look forward to being with you." And shame on you and shame on me and anybody else that their past is dictating their future. God put that to rest when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ. And shame on you for giving more power to your sins and your problems and your inconsistencies and your flaws than you do to the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing stronger than that. Amen. This is my story. What will the end of it be? You sing this with me? "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood." Stand with me. "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Will you spend a couple of seconds, a couple of moments with your precious Lord and Savior? Will you let him know how much you appreciate this wonderful gift of life that he's given you? Will you give him acknowledgement, credit, and great thanks of gratitude for the blood of the Son, Jesus Christ, who died so that we could have this sovereign and holy moment? Will you give him thanks for the fact that while we can't change our past, we can change our future? He's always there to give us guidance. And maybe the biggest prayer you need to pray right now is, God, help me to hold on. I am being threatened by life, by my feelings, by so many things. Satan himself is just literally just driving me crazy, and I need to hold on to everything that I've got. Father, I ask you to do that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sin today, Lord God. Cause us to walk around in the purity and the holiness that you have provided. For it wasn't through our own effort, it was through the effort of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can even sing these kind of songs. It's only because of you, Lord God, that we can look toward the future. It's only you, Lord God, that can give us the opportunity and the appreciation for this very moment that we have, because we can't relive it again. And it'll be changed in a matter of moments. We'll be on and about our way. But oh God, help us to remember that our time, the time you've given us, is a gift. Sing it again with me. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. So will you do me one more other favor? When you leave, will you just kind of take your time a little bit and share a little bit of what God's given in your heart with your neighbors? And it's not about the meet and greet thing. It's just about, you know, as you're leaving, maybe we've been in such a hurry sometimes that we just forget there's some people here that maybe we haven't met, or maybe we just like to say hello once again to somebody. You know, we're not going to bring you back tonight, so suck it up for today. It'd be awesome. Smile big, love big, hug necks, love the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. You are dismissed.